Let's go to the book of 1 Chronicles 28, 9 through 10. Just two verses. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, beginning at verse 9 through 10. And I got the Bible with the smallest letters. I'm going to have to read it over here. I'm serious. I can't read this. All right. Yep. I'm going to try it. I'm going to hold it close. All right. The Word of God said, actually, I got to read it on the screen. I'm sorry, guys. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, 9 through 10. It says, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him wholehearted, with a wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build his temple as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work." Let's pray. Father, I just ask that you bless this word that I believe with all my heart is for our personal church family today. I pray, Father, that you would just ignite in us a spirit, a fire to receive this word, and that you, Holy Spirit, would be the one speaking and not me. And Father, we just surrender now to you, that your will be done. In Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 You guys can have a seat as we go into this word this morning. Just keep in mind that David is in his last few years of his life. And David has done a lot. He's seen a lot. He's experienced a lot. David is a giant slayer, He's a warrior. He's a man after God's own heart. He's made mistakes. He's committed sins. He's committed murder and adultery. David has a lot of experience in life. He knows what it is to be nothing. He knows what it is to be everything. He knows what it is to have nothing. He knows what it is to have everything. He knows what it is to be attacked. He knows what it is to be loved. David has such a profound life experience that now, as Solomon is getting ready to really be the next generation to lead the nation of Israel, David has to give him sound wisdom. He has to give him advice. And this is a time that David has to really make sure that his son is strong, encouraged, and successful. David does not tell Solomon how to handle the budget, how to work the money. He doesn't tell Solomon how to be a brave and mighty man and warrior. He doesn't give him the in and outs of fighting giants or bears or lions like he did. He doesn't tell him how to be a great leader and king and influencer. The one advice that David gives his son Solomon had to do everything with your relationship with God. And the key to a powerful, successful life lies in your relationship and walk with the Lord, nothing else. And David tells Solomon to serve and love God devotedly, wholeheartedly. Now, when we look at the life of Solomon, most of us know Solomon was known to be successful. He was known to be one of the most powerful kings that ever existed in history. He's known to be one of the richest people that ever existed. Solomon is known to be famous when there was no internet, there was none of that, and everyone in the world knew who Solomon was. Just think about that. But see, all of us, we attribute Solomon's success to the fact that one day he asked God for one thing. He asked God for wisdom. And all of us look and say, okay, that's what made Solomon powerful. That's what made Solomon so mighty. The fact that he was wise and he had wisdom. And yes, Solomon did have wisdom. I do not want to take that away from him, nor can I. Solomon had wisdom. He had the ability to discern. That's what wisdom is, to discern what's right and wrong. And when he had the discernment to see and understand and discern what was right and wrong, it gave him the ability to make right choices. That's why he was so successful. He had discernment and understanding, and he was able to see right and wrong and make right choices. But understand this, it was not just Solomon's wisdom that made him so powerful. See, David tells Solomon in verse 9, let me read that again. And this is the phrase that pierced my heart this morning. The Bible says, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him wholeheartedly with devotion and with," say it with me, "a willing mind." A willing mind. It's easy in the church to talk and preach about serving God with all your heart. We read about it, we talk about it, we preach about it, we know about it. Love God with all your heart. But when was the last time you heard a sermon of what it means to have a willing mind? We don't hear it. It's in the Bible, yet we as pastors have failed you to really understand what it means and what it takes to serve God wholeheartedly. You have to have what the Bible calls a willing mind. A willing mind is a desire to do and take action and obey. Church, my point is that, yes, Solomon had wisdom and he had all of this ability, but wisdom and ability means nothing if you don't have a willing mind. Without a willing mind, your wisdom is useless. Let me give you an actual visual illustration, because a sermon I did have this morning involved umbrellas. And your pastor did a lot of research on umbrellas. Can I tell you with humility, no one in this church knows more about umbrellas than I do now. I have unnecessary wisdom on umbrellas. Now, I can tell you that, for example, I look at this umbrella, I can tell you that, I don't know, umbrellas have been around for 4,000 years. That's a fact. Umbrellas actually were not meant to be used for the rain. I can tell you right now that umbrellas were actually used to protect you from the sun. In fact, we know this because the Latin word for umbrella is umbrella, which literally translates shade or shadow. Fun fact. Not only has umbrellas been around 4,000 years, I can remember from my wisdom of umbrellas that it was a symbol of status. And the more wealth you had, the bigger umbrella you had. If you were dirt poor, you never had or owned an umbrella. You dreamed of having one, but that was only considered for the rich and the elites. In 1928, this man invented the first collapsible umbrella. That's when umbrellas were made more affordable and it really took off. Did you know that the umbrella is a $1 billion industry? And more umbrellas get lost every year and bought, and that's why it's so successful. Umbrella wisdom, y'all. Umbrella wisdom. But let me ask you this question. How much of my wisdom of umbrellas is going to keep me from the sun? How much? None of it matters. If it rains today, which it will at 3 p.m., how much of my wisdom is going to keep me from getting wet? How much? You see how wisdom is useless unless I'm willing to take action. So first step in my wisdom of umbrellas. Ready? First, Velcro the straps. That's an action. Then keep it away from your eyes. I learned that the hard way. Then press the button, raise it up, the umbrella opens. Step four, get under it. Now, with my willingness to open it up and get under it? Does my willingness now protect me from the sun? Does my willingness now protect me from the rain? Absolutely. Here's my point. Wisdom. Wisdom without a willingness does nothing. And if you want God to truly bless your life, if you want God to really change your life, if you want to be the best you you can be through God, let me tell you this. It's going to take a lot more than just you learning about God, knowing about God, having wisdom about God. You're going to have a willing mindset to do and take action and obey in order to see the things of God working in your life. Like this umbrella, if you want it to work for you, it's not just wisdom that's going to help you. You actually have to take action. I need to open it. I need to get under it. I need to hold it. Those are all willing actions I take in order for this to work. Now, so many people say, well, God's not working in my life. Church doesn't work. Prayer doesn't work. My life is not working out with God. And I guarantee that if you believe that God is not working in your life, it's because maybe all you have is a lot of wisdom, but not a willingness to actually live a life in obedience. To do what it takes. It takes action. You see, ability with no willingness means nothing. And many stay in bondage. And many have a difficult life. And many still suffer pain. Not because of a lack of wisdom in the church, but a lack of a willingness in our minds. You see, in order to be like this umbrella, it's able to protect me from the sun. And it's able to protect me from the rain. But the ability to do this means nothing if I don't do my part and I'm willing to go under it and hold on to it and take action. So what I'm telling you this morning, do you have a willing mind? A willing mind will either break you or make you. You want proof of this? Look at Exodus 10:27. It's all over the Bible. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And he was not what? Willing to let them go. The Bible does not say Pharaoh was not able to let them go. Pharaoh had the power and the authority to let them go. But see, the ability means nothing without the willingness. And though he had the power to let the people go, he was not willing. So all of the problems Pharaoh had in his life, think about it, the plagues, the diseases, the locusts, the flies, the frogs, the water, the blood in the water in the Nile River, even the death of his firstborn son, even his own self-destruction in the Red Sea, all of that was a result of his unwillingness to let the people go. What if Pharaoh was willing to let them go? You know that if Pharaoh was willing to let the people go, it would have blessed his life, because the Bible says whoever blesses Israel will be blessed themselves. He would have seen the glory of God. He would have had a legacy of holiness and honor. He would not have lost his son. He would not have caused so much pain to so many other people if he would have had the willingness. But the Bible says he was not willing. How different could your life be if we had a willing mind? How much stress and problems and hurt could you avoid? How much peace and joy and freedom could you experience if you would actually learn how to have a willing mind? Not just a be a person that's satisfied with wisdom, but a person that says, Lord, give me a willing mind, that desire to do what it takes to be who you have called me to be. Church, I realized this morning, the devil has trapped and lied to so many people. The devil has trapped and lied. You know, one of the things that the devil tells people to get them stuck, and I see it all the time as a pastor, is this lie. You're not able. Give up because you're not able. Stop praying for that because you're unable. You're unable to change. You're unable to be blessed. You're unable to see victory. You're unable. You're just unable. You're not able to love others. You're not able to walk in forgiveness. You're unable to change. You're unable to work this out. God can't use you. He's unable to forgive you. He's unable to use you. The devil has implanted this in the mind of so many people, so they stay in bondage because in their mindset is, I don't have the ability. I see it all the time with people I sit down with for counseling, and they tell me to my face, I'm not able. I'm not able to forgive and get rid of this bitterness. I'm unable to change and overcome this addiction. I'm unable. And it's the biggest lie of the enemy. The problem is, and here's the truth, and I know it might offend you, but I got to be honest with you. The problem in the church is not that we are unable to change, is that we are unwilling to change. That's the truth. We are unwilling. So if you would sit down with me in counseling and you would say, Pastor, I'm unwilling to change, I would have more respect for you, because if you say you are unable to, then you don't know who Jesus is, who says that he is able to do far more than you ever think, ask, or imagine, and with the power that works in you. So if you believe that demonic lie that you are unable, you are feeding the lie of the enemy. But if you tell me I'm just unwilling, then I will respect you for your honesty. The problem in the church, it's not that people are unable to change. If you get real honest with yourself, you are where you are in your life because you're just not willing to change. Can I get a little more personal here with you? By a show of hands, how many of you have been really hard? Like your world has been rocked by the rejection of someone you loved. Hands, hands. Can you put your hands down? Do you know why it hurts you so much? You know why it changed your life for the negative? You know why it's hard to get over it? It's not because that person was unable to love you. It wasn't because the person was unable to be loyal to you. If you have ever had a family member or an absent father or a friend or a breakup or someone cheat on you, it wasn't because they were unable to do what they should have done in that relationship that hurt you so much. The truth is, the pain that you carry is because of their unwillingness. Let me prove it to you. If a person has no ability to love, you can't get mad at them. It's like me getting mad at a fish that can't run on the ground. It's like me getting mad at something that's impossible. It's not that what really hurts in the rejection is not that that person was unable to, because if they were unable to, I would accept that. But the fact that it really hurts is because you know they were able to, but chose and to be willing not to. Is this making sense? That's what hurts you, is that you look at your childhood and said, my father was able to stay home and stay with my mom and love me, but he was just unwilling. My spouse was able to be loyal and faithful and honor our marriage, but they were not willing to. My family members was willing to be by my side, but they were unwilling to. Unable is a lie. Look at hell. The emotional and psychological torture the Bible talks about of people in hell is not because they were unable to serve Jesus on earth in their lifetime. You know what the psychological torment of gnashing of teeth in hell is? Is the fact that millions of people were standing eternally in hell and with fire and brimstone, knowing that they were able to serve Jesus, but they were not willing to. That they were able to repent of their sins, but not willing to. That they were able to surrender to Jesus, but not willing to. They were able to serve Him with all of their heart, but unwilling to. Church, don't let the devil lie and tell you that you are where you are because you're just unable. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the God honoring honest truth today is your unwillingness. You want more proof? I believe God's speaking to our church right now. The proof that we're unable is a lie, and that we're just unwilling is found in Exodus 36:2. Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given what? Say it loud. God gave them what? Preach it to me. What?
Ability.
Say it to your neighbor. What?
Ability.
Say it to your other neighbor. What?
Ability.
God gave them ability to build the tabernacle that would house the Ark of the Covenant, that would show and display the glory of God, that would be an amazing attribute to the people of Israel. God gave them the ability, the wisdom, and how they were built it. God says, I'm giving you the umbrella wisdom and how it works and why, and I'm going to give you all the wisdom. But notice why it got built. The Lord had given the ability, and who was what? Willing to come and do what, church? The work. Why did the tabernacle get built? Why was the glory of God shown? It was not only because men had the ability to do it. But with that ability came what? Willingness. These men said, I have the wisdom. I know how to build the umbrella. I know how the umbrella works. I know the history of the umbrella. I know the tabernacle. I know how to build it. I know the measurements. I know that I know that I know I have the wisdom. But none of that mattered until the men said, we're going to have the willingness to do the work and what it takes. And they put it into action. Church, the simple truth is the ability without the willingness is dead. It doesn't work. And thank God they were men that weren't just satisfied with the wisdom of the tabernacle, but they had the mindset. They had the willingness to do the work, to take the time, to make the sacrifices, to build it. Do you know right now what God is telling our church? We can build something that God can get glory from. We can build something that people will see Jesus in. We can build something so amazing, not with the wisdom God has given us, but if we had more people in this church with a willingness to do the work and what it takes to build what God has promised. It's a willingness. Ability means nothing without willingness. Can I give you a Holy Ghost beatdown now? No, not yet. You're able. You are. Don't believe the devil. You're not able. No, you're able. You're able. Able to do what? Well, let me give you some examples. You know, right now, you're able to go to church every Sunday. But sometimes you're just not willing to. You know what I'm talking about? It's raining, drizzling. No, raining, can't go. Bed's extra cozy. You're tired. The majority of people in the church, not just in the world, not just America, I'm just preaching to our family today. We're able to go to church every Sunday. But why is it that it's a hit or miss on Sundays? Because a lot of people are not willing to. Why? Well, because that takes sacrifice and time, and it's not easy. You're able to serve in this church. Next week, I'm going to have a sign-up sheet for ministries that need help. I'm going to tell you, don't you come to me and say, I'm not able to do that, Pat. No, don't lie. Tell me the truth. I love you for it. I'm just not willing. You're able to serve. You're just not willing. Because it's a sacrifice. You got to get up a few hours earlier to be here and be nagged by me. And Maria, you know you're able to invite people that are lost? You know God has put lost people in front of you? That you are able to tell them about your church? You are able to invite them? You're able to get them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? The problem is you're not willing to. Because it takes time and it's embarrassing and it's a sacrifice. Listen, you're just not willing. You're able to pray in the mornings, at night. You're able to pray and have a great relationship with God. You're able to read the scriptures. You're able to finish that 1-year Bible plan you said you would read. You're able to. But you know why you haven't and why you're stuck? Because the problem is not your ability. It's a lack of your willingness. Let me really hurt your feelings. You're able to tithe. Oh. You're able to tithe. You're able to give offerings. You're able. Why? Because you got a job that God gave you. You got a paycheck God gives you. I'm just not able because there's inflation and now there's all these problems with China and now the taxes and this. Listen, is God not a provider? And the reason that we as a church struggle month to month to month financially, the reason we can't even pay the rent today is because you're not willing to give and support financially your home church. But I bet you're able to. You want me to prove it? Take out your phones. Look at your bank account and tell me how much money you waste on garbage that does nothing for your life. But this church fills you in the spirit. But there you are. Using your God-given resources for your cosmetics and your Amazon and your Netflix and your parties and this and that and clothes and fishing and this and golf clubs. How disgusting that every week or bi-weekly or monthly, the Lord says, here's my provision. And you, the first thought is my bills, my house, my this. But you don't have a willingness to be obedient and separate what belongs to God so that our ministry can be a blessed one. And if you don't, because you're just not willing to fear God. You're able to have a 100% success rate in your marriage. You're able to have a marriage filled with love and intimacy. But you know why you don't? Because you're not willing, not because you're not able. Well, I'm just not able to get along with her. I'm able to kill him, but I'm not able to love him. You know why you're thinking you're not able? It's a lie. You're just not willing. You're not willing to spend time together. Why? Because he might touch me. You're not willing to serve one another. You're not willing to listen to one another. You're not willing to respect. You're not willing to submit. You're not willing. That's why you're stuck. But the devil lies. You're just not able to have a great marriage. Divorce. Move on. But you gotta be willing. You're able to raise godly kids in this wicked, disgusting world. You're able as a mom and dad to sit down with your children and read the Bible to them and pray with them and give them an example. You are able to check who your kids are hanging out with, what they're posting, what they're watching, who their friends are. But you know why you don't? It's not because you're not able, it's you're not willing as a parent because it takes time. My own neighbor told me that like 2 days ago we were talking. And I asked him, how's it going? He's like, oh man, my son, he's 14 years old and we got him a phone. I think he has a girlfriend. I know he's up to no good and he's always on the phone and he's alone with his phone. I don't know what he's watching. And I'm thinking, why don't you check the phone? And he goes, I don't got time for that. I don't want to deal with the drama. You see, that's the ability without the willingness. You're willing to stop that sin that plagues your life. You're willing to cut it away. If you're willing to have boundaries, you can be set free. But the devil says you're not able to get rid of that sin. The reason you can't get rid of it is because you're not willing to. You like it. It is what it is. You like it. And sometimes we get a willing mind and we say, okay, that's it, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to raise my kid and have a good marriage. I'm going to live my life for you. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give. I'm going to serve. Yeah, pastor, preach it. I got this. But you know what's going to happen? Maybe after a week or two after this message is preached, Matthew 26:41 is going to happen. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 26:41? Watch and pray so that you will not fail into temptation. The Spirit is what? The Spirit is what? It's willing. That word spirit, pneuma in the Greek, literally means your soul, your mind. Jesus said, in the Spirit that I've given you, you have the mind, the willingness to do it. But you know what gets in the way? The Spirit is willing, but the body, the flesh, is weak. And when that mind of yours says, that's it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do the right thing, that's enough, your flesh says, no, give in to me. And you're overcome by the flesh. The flesh gets in the way, and we say, I'm not going to do it. I'm too tired, I'm too lazy, I don't want to put in the work, I don't want to put in the effort, I don't want to put in the time, I don't want to make the sacrifice. And you give in to your flesh. And Jesus looked at these men who he wanted to use and bless and said, hey, you have a willingness, but your flesh can be more powerful. And that's what's happening to the church. We have not only the ability, sometimes you might even have the willingness, but you give too much power to your flesh. So in your flesh, you say, I can't forgive. The flesh says, I can't get up early to pray, because the flesh wants to stay in the sheets and the pillow. The flesh says, I can't put my phone down. I got to scroll. I got to stream. I got to this. The flesh says, I can't give. I can't serve. I can't sacrifice. We give too much power to the flesh. Sometimes we have the mind, the willingness, but the flesh takes over. It's like when we start diets on Monday. Because Sunday you have a willingness. You say, that's it, that's it. No more sugar, no more cookie, no more donuts. Right, Darius? No more donuts. The willingness is there. And then what happens? You walk out church, you walk outside, and what's in front? What do we have today in church? Oh, the little cute ones. How demonic. The little cute donuts. So the flesh takes over. And you grab all the little ones and make one big donut. Watch, I'm telling you, watch Darius today. He's going to do it. Why? The spirit is willing. But your flesh, you don't die to it. You don't kill it. Philippians 2:13. It is God who works in you to what? To will and to act according to his good purpose. You want God to work in you? And you want to fulfill God's purpose for your life? You got to have the will. Ability means nothing without the will. Why don't we have the will? Why don't we have the willing mind to do the work it takes? Well, let's look at verse 9 of the opening verse we read. It says, David said, and you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with what? A whole heart. Before David tells Solomon to serve God with a willing mind, he first talks about a whole heart. Why? Because they both go together. You will never have a willing mind to serve the Lord until you have a whole heart for the Lord. It's a whole heart. The reason we don't have a willing mind to do what it takes, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. The word heart there literally means the center of everything. If God is not the center of your life, if God doesn't get your all, your first, your loyalty, your devotion, you'll never have a willing mind. And if you don't have a willing mind, you'll never see the full purpose of God in this life. When I see our church and I see people that aren't willing, they're just not willing to come, willing to serve, willing to give, willing to forgive, willing to listen. That's not a church problem, a pastor problem, a people problem. That's a you problem, and it's called your heart. It's your heart. The Bible says Pharaoh was unwilling. Why? His heart was hardened. It was a heart issue. What was Solomon's downfall? It wasn't a lack of wisdom. He didn't lose his wisdom. No, look at 1 Kings 11:4. What did the devil do to crush Solomon's legacy? As Solomon grew old, his wives, all 1,000 of them, turned his what? His heart after other gods. And his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, his God, as the heart of David. What's the key word there, church? Heart. Your all, your devotion. Something today has your heart. A relationship, a man, a woman, a job, a hobby, the world. But until the Lord is someone that you serve wholeheartedly, it will never affect your mind. You will never have a willing mind. And you will always give power to your flesh. And you will always stay stuck. Or worse, destroy your life. David's advice was simple. And I understand now why his own father, of everything David could have told his son, who was about to lead the next life, the next legacy. David said this in Psalm 51:12, because David understood what it meant to be a man after God's own heart. A man that was willing to have his life focus be the desires of God. When David sinned, and David committed murder and adultery, and was filled with shame and guilt, this is the prayer of repentance. Repentance literally means a change of mind that causes you to turn. You know what David prayed? He said, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Can I tell you, in this church, we might have a lot of saved people, but I don't see a lot of joy anymore. I don't see the joy we used to have. And David wanted to repent of that and said, "Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation." But notice what he prays. Grant me what? A willing spirit. David, who committed adultery and lust, did not say, "Lord, give me new eyes." David said, "Lord, the only way I know my joy is going to come back, because I don't want to just be saved and joyless. The only way I know you're going to restore the joy of my salvation is if you give me a willing spirit, a willing mind again." And that willing spirit is what's going to sustain me. How important is a willing mind right now? It's one of the greatest attributes in a Christian's life. It's a willing spirit, a willing mind. So much so that David prayed, "Lord, I need a willing spirit. Not just the wisdom, but I need the willingness to do what I need to do to be the man you've called me to be." But before David prayed for a willing spirit, you know what he prayed for? Verse 10. Created me what? A pure heart. Because David understood, I cannot have a willing mind, a willing spirit to serve God if my heart is not pure. He had a heart issue. What's wrong with our church? I see people that have wisdom because you go to a God-fearing church that preaches the word of God from beginning to end. But I don't see a lot of willingness anymore. Because our church has a heart problem. And David said in repentance, "Lord, create in me a new heart." Let me close with this. David said in 1 Chronicles 28:9 through 10. I want to read it in the NLT version because it's so good. He said, "Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship, serve him with your whole heart." And what, church? A willing mind. "For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and every thought. If you seek him, you'll find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." And David gave it to him straight. He said, "Son, take this seriously. The Lord has chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. Church, thus says the Lord to Forward Fellowship this morning. It's time to take this serious. It's time to repent of our unclean hearts and our unwillingness to serve God truthfully and to serve God now with our whole hearts. And David told Solomon, serve God wholeheartedly with a willing mind and take it serious. I wonder, as Solomon grew old and his dad was now gone, and he sees that he's not as devoted as he used to be to God. He sees his life falling apart. He sees his sin, his immorality, his lust. He sees all the women he's surrounded with, the ungodliness. He sees everything. I could only imagine that Solomon had to have said, Dad, you were right. How I wish I would have taken it serious and served God with a whole heart and a willing mind. Because my wisdom meant nothing without the willingness to obey God and do the work. Church, we need to repent. Because a few days ago, Wednesday, I sat down with my mom and we prayed right here in the prayer garden for our church. And in faith, we signed another 1-year lease. But this year, I said, Lord, I understand why you woke me up at 3 a.m. now. Because before we sit now after church and have a financial meeting and talk as a church family, we need to be a people. We need to come to repentance and say, Lord, I have not taken this seriously. And we need to be the people that say, God, give us a willing mind to do the work and obey, because we know we're able, but we're just not willing. And see what God can do. Amen. Church, if you're with me in this, and you're saying, Pastor, I need to repent, and you want to join me in repentance in our church this morning, can we pray as a church in this altar right now and come forward and let's pray as a church family? That's why I didn't want guests in this place today, because this is family talk. This is where the family gets together at the kitchen table and said, hey, we got a problem. And we got to come together as a church this morning. And you grab the hand of that person next to you. And before we pray for our church, all around the room, you grab the people around you. And before we even pray for the heart of the church, would you pray to the God right now that you serve for your own heart? Would you be honest to God right now and say, Lord, I have not been willing. I know I'm able, but I'm just not willing to serve you the way you should be served. Because I'm talking to someone here this morning that maybe has the heart of Pharaoh, and it's a hardened heart. And a hardened heart is a heart that no longer feels the presence of God. It's amazing how Pharaoh could see the water divide and see the miracles and it mean nothing. And it shocks me every time until I see people in church that the Spirit of God is literally glorifying in the place and they're stuck on their phones and they can care less. And you have a hardened heart. Or maybe you have the heart of Solomon and you're distracted by sin in the world and you don't serve God like you used to. Repent of that and say, Lord, give me a willing mind as I repent of this sin of distraction and lust. Or maybe you have the heart of David and you're living with guilt and shame over your sin and you're thinking, I'm not willing to serve God because of what I've done and who I am. And in Jesus' name, I denounce that demonic lie. You come to this altar and repent of your sins, and He who is faithful will forgive you of all unrighteousness. But you have to repent and say, Lord, forgive me for not having a willing spirit. And pray one of the most amazing prayers in the Bible. Simple. Lord, grant me a willing spirit. In Jesus' name, Father, grant them a willing spirit. Now, Father, as we bring the church, we thank you for 15 years. 15 years of struggle, 15 years of being tired, 15 years of seeing lives changed, however. 15 years. And God, I know that you are able. You are able to open doors. You are able to do amazing things. But God, you can't. Because our church is filled with people that aren't willing. Their hearts are so hard and so distracted. How dare we ask you to do amazing things in our church when our hearts are so filthy? But Father, with your grace in the altar and your mercy, I humble myself and we humble ourselves in this place. And we just ask you, Jesus, we ask you to give us a willing spirit. Because I'm tired of the wisdom and the knowledge that means nothing without the willingness to obey and sacrifice and do the work it takes to be the men and women that you have called us to be. Church of Lord, if this is the year that we're not going to be willing, then shut these doors already. But if you are calling us to be a church again, then Father, give us a willing spirit to obey and give and serve and sacrifice. And forgive us for believing that we're not able. Give us in this place a willing spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, would you hug that person next to you? Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to thank you all for joining us today. Can we give God some real praise this morning?